Now, this morning we want to be a little shorter than perhaps normal. We want to seek to get out the place so that others can start the arrangements. And I have just a very simple thought that I really want to pass on to those who are going to be baptized, and I think there's something for everyone else as well. It's in Psalm 37. It's in the 37th Psalm. I consider it to be one of the most remarkable promises in the whole Bible. Now, I think the Bible is full of remarkable promises. There are over 8,000 promises, clear-cut promises, in the Bible. All of them are really wonderful. But I have, ever since I was saved, quite a few years ago now, this particular promise has made me marvel. I know of no promise in Scripture more comprehensive and more remarkable than this little one. Here it is, Psalm 37, verse 4, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he will give thee the desires of thine heart." Don't you think that's remarkable? You all look a bit sort of dim and dumb. But I must say that I find it quite remarkable, this promise. Think of it for a moment. He will give thee the desires of thine heart. It's such a comprehensive phrase, the desires of thy heart. He will give thee the desires of thy heart. The condition is to delight thyself in the Lord. In the Living Bible, they put it rather beautifully. They put it this way: be delighted in the Lord, and you will get all your heart desires. Be delighted in the Lord, and you will get all your heart desires. Now, the heart is very, very important. Our minds may be important, but our hearts are far more important. It says in Proverbs and chapter 4 and verse 23, "Keep thy heart with diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Keep thy heart with diligence, or guard thy heart carefully, for out of it are the issues of life, all of life's issues are to do with the heart, finally. We reason things out, but in the end it is what happens really in the deepest part of our being that finally commits us to a way that influences us, whether we know it or not. And God's word says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. You can be very careless about your heart. You can allow all kinds of things to intrude into it, to compromise it, to take it over. And without knowing it, you have found yourself moving along a way which is taking you right out of the will of God. No wonder the Lord said to King Solomon, only one thing: my son, give me thy heart. Now, we who are believers tend to feel that any talking of giving one's heart to God belongs to an evangelistic meeting. That it sort of is a gospel message to those who are unsaved. Give your heart to the Lord. But I have found from my own experience and from observation of many other believers that when we are saved, so often our hearts are not totally committed. Some Christians are almost, one would say, saved in the head. They know what is right. They know what is true, but their heart has never been given to God. When I say given, of course, yes, on paper it's been given. Officially it's been given. There's been a conversion. We don't doubt the conversion. But the heart has never been genuinely, truly given to God. Now, that's why we have such battles over the will of God. That's why we're sometimes so rebellious about the things of God. That's why so often we kick and resist the tender pleadings of the Spirit of God. It's because the heart has not been obtained. The Lord didn't want Solomon's money. There's a sense in which we could say the Lord didn't even want Solomon's building program. Or he could have said so many things to Solomon. He could have said, Solomon, my dear boy, give me your time. It's going to take a lot of your time, this big building program. But he didn't say that. He could have said, Solomon, give me your money. He had plenty. And the building program was going to cost a lot. It was to be exceeding magnificent, this house of the Lord that was to be raised. But the Lord didn't say that. He could have said all other kinds of things. But what the Lord said is so simple and so profound. My son, give me thy heart. Why did God say that? Because I think he felt that if once he could get Solomon's heart, he would have his time and his money and everything else. Now, I know, of course, that there will be those Bible students amongst us whose minds are now working very fast, and thinking to themselves, well, Solomon went off the rails rather quickly with all those women and everything else that he had. I mean, he brought in terrible things to Jerusalem, yes. And if we believe the rabbis, and I have no reason to doubt the truth of it myself, then Ecclesiastes was written in the middle part of Solomon's life. When he found that really in many ways his heart had not been guarded, his heart had been given, but not guarded. Of course, we must understand that all these various ladies who were introduced into the royal household were really rather like the signing of pacts. Today, of course, we do it by sending foreign ministers who sort of sign things together. In the good old days, they did it by marrying a daughter of the leader of whatever country it was into the family of the other. And so their idea was, we cement the relationship between these two nations. It wasn't such a long time ago. They were doing it in Europe, or trying to cement the relations between countries by marriages of royal families. And of course, you see, you can understand that Solomon must have been advised by various counselors. It was the wise thing to do. It was the clever thing to do. It was the political thing to do. It was the diplomatic thing to do. And all these ideas pouring into his mind, persuaded his mind, because he didn't guard his heart with diligence. Now, the issues were tremendous. It meant that the people of Israel were irrevocably divided into two. And all the tragedy of a divided nation began because of Solomon's foolishness in this matter. And then we read all the way through Chronicles and Kings about the high places. These things that were an abomination in the sight of God, prophet after prophet thundered out against the high places. It was Solomon's wives who built the first high places in the very hills around Jerusalem, overlooking the temple itself. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. The heart is so important. Keep thy heart, guard it. If you do nothing else, dear one who's being baptized today, guard your heart by the Spirit of God. Guard your heart, because you can be sure that out of your heart will be determined all the issues of your life. Now, to go back to our promise, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he will give thee the desires of thy heart. Delight thyself also in the Lord. He will give thee the desires of thy heart. I think once our heart is committed to the Lord, given to the Lord, surrendered to the Lord, once our heart is guarded with all diligence, then I think we shall delight in the Lord. You see, how can anyone delight in the Lord if really something hasn't happened in their heart? Now, you can screw up now and again a little bit of courage and say, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Well, that's tremendous that you managed to say those words, but that's not delighting yourself in the Lord. To delight yourself in the Lord is to be carried out of yourself, enraptured, taken over. It's a wonderful word. He didn't say, praise the Lord and he will give thee the desires of thine heart. That would have been wonderful. Bless the Lord, as we were talking about last night, and he will give thee the desires of thine heart. No, no. He said, delight thyself also in the Lord. And this word delight is an emotional word, I think. And don't be afraid of emotion now and again. It's all part of our makeup. I feel sorry for people that don't get delighted about things. Now, for one moment, forgetting the Lord, if we could, think about some of the things that do delight you. Some people get delighted by a racing car. It's hard for others to understand it, but they get just carried out of themselves, transported. No, I mean, you see, you all are. It's positively true. Some people get, they wouldn't say delighted, they wouldn't use that word. But to hear them talk, you would think it was the world, you would think they were married to it. I mean, it's absolutely wonderful. The shape, the form, the figure, the innards, everything. It's all so wonderful, they're carried away. Other people get delighted with flowers, or delighted with a garden, or delighted with natural scenery. But we are all, at some time or another, delighted by something. Perhaps it's with one another. We get delighted. We're in rapture. It's not just a kind of mental exercise. It's not a kind of sitting down and sort of thinking it out. Now, I'm going to say so-and-so to so-and-so today. Or about that flower, I think I'll use this word and that word and the other word. That's not delight. That's an investigation. Delight is when somehow or other you are caught by something, taken over by something, drawn out by something, so enraptured that you've gone out of yourself. Self-consciousness and delight never go hand in hand. They are almost opposites. Delight. It's a strong word, it's an emotional word. Delight thyself also in the Lord. Now here the Lord's caught us. He's so clever. The wisdom of God. It seems at first that this is tremendous. Just do a little bit of praising, say a few thanks now and again, express a little bit of gratitude, and you'll get anything you want. Not at all. Here is a promise to those whose hearts are centered in the Lord, whose hearts are progressively seeing something of the Lord, whose hearts have not only been given to the Lord, but they're guarding their hearts with diligence. And they're delighting in the Lord. To them the Lord is a delight. To them the Lord somehow just draws them out of themselves. They forget themselves in communing with the Lord, forget themselves in seeing the Lord. To those, God says, he will give the desires of their heart. Now, I've known a few people like this in my life, and I've always been staggered at what they can get out of the Lord. Really? C.T. Studd was one of them. It seemed he only had to whisper something almost through one of his missing gaps in his teeth, and instantly it was given. Someone once said to him, how come you get such big answers? He said, why ask the Lord for an egg if you can ask him for an elephant? Now, it all sounds so simple. Other people try it. It doesn't work. But the fact of the matter is, he was a man who delighted himself in the Lord. He was carried out of himself by the Lord. There are others, too, I can think of, that I've known, who've been really, I suppose, in love with the Lord. And where the Lord has done the most extraordinary things, it just seems it's a love relationship. As if the Lord just wants to do this and this and this, just in order to bring out a bit more delight. Delight thyself. Have we put it too high? Have we made everyone feel, oh dear, we'll never get through? Well, I thought of this other little word. Here it is. It's in Psalm 20, and it's verse 4. Well, we'll read verse 1, too. The Lord answer thee in the day of trouble. In the name of the God of Jacob, set thee up on high. Verse 4, grant thee thy heart's desire. Now, I thought this might help anyone who feels, oh, dear, well, I'm a bit... I just don't feel I can come up to that. But think of the name of the God of Jacob, who can set thee up on high. And the psalmist says, may he, the God of Jacob, grant you your heart's desire. Now, there's one thing about Jacob which was remarkable. He may have had tremendous business acumen, but he honestly loved the Lord. He may have been a very twisted character, but he genuinely loved the Lord. He stole the birthright, he got the blessing. It was because he prized those things. Someone else might have said to him, what can a birthright do? That's a kind of thing in the air. It's not millions and millions of pounds, it's a spiritual thing. But Jacob could have said, no, I believe in the Lord.
To me, it's the most precious possession, treasure in the whole world, to get that birthright and to get that blessing. He was a twisted character, but God straightened him out. So maybe there's someone here who feels a bit of a twisted character and feels, well, that cuts me right out. Not so. The name of the God of Jacob set thee up on high. Someone else may be in a lot of trouble and says, well, it's all very well for him to talk about delighting oneself in the Lord. I'm in terrible trouble. He doesn't know anything about that. But it says, the Lord answered thee in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob set thee up on high. Grant thee thy heart's desire. There was another who spoke of a heart's desire. And with this we will close, only just in mentioning it. Because to me, it shows what happens when one's heart is taken up with God. It is the Apostle Paul, in Romans 10, and verse 1. And he said, brethren, my heart's desire and my supplication to God is for them, that they may be saved. What a beautiful window into the heart of the apostle. He could have wanted something. These people had so despitefully used him, had proved so treacherous, so hard, so violent in their opposition. But here is someone, someone prayed about it this morning. Here was someone who had learnt that you cannot receive Christ without laying down your own life in the end. You can't get someone into you who's laid down his life, whose very nature is to lay down his life, who doesn't do it again in you. Otherwise, there's a civil war inside. And the apostle has got the right kind of heart's desire. And I'll tell you something else. God is going to give him his heart's desire. It's taken 2,000 years, but in the end, you wait, it'll happen. And there'll be a tremendous ingathering of Jewish people. The heart's desire of the apostle, recorded in the word, will finally be fulfilled. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. Write it over this day and over your life, you who are going to be baptized. Never forget it. May you be, as Amy Carmichael used to say, a lover of our Lord. Shall we pray? And we pray together that, Father, thou wilt indeed get thy word into our hearts. May we all know what it is to delight ourselves in thee. Father, release us, free us from all those things that inhibit us, and bring us to the place where in our the quietness of our own being, the secret place of our own lives, we really delight in thee. So, Lord, hear us and cover and guard this time in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.